Hey, what's up, players? WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long. I just want to endorse some of my brothers that are doing an outstanding job of podcasts. I'm talking about the First Black Champ podcast, one of the greatest podcasts of all time, and it's growing and growing each and every day. Talking about my man, J.R. Bang, and Champ from the Port. Players, you better take a listen to them, and if you don't, I'll have J.R. Bang and Champ put them in a tag team match, and it's going to be a lot of trouble.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Hello. Happy Sunday. Good day to you whenever you listen. But most importantly, on a day like this, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all of the men out there that listen to the show and don't listen to the show yet. And you know, I'll do my message at the end. But hey, above all of that, man, it's time to talk about wrestling. And you heard Teddy Long. Again, you probably gonna hear him probably like just like forever as part of this show. I don't know, but you know, whatever it is. But hey, listen, we about to talk wrestling in a very unconventional way, just like nobody else in the world, and that's what makes the show so unique. So please get ready. Enjoy your day as you partake in the First Black Champ podcast, and I am still your podcast Intercontinental Champion, and you know, acknowledge your daddy. On all fronts, I'm Cam from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download to the Barbershop Network, home of First Black Champ Podcast. Make sure you follow us on everything at the FBCPOD. Cam from the Port, JR Bang. Make sure you go ahead and get that merch and acknowledge your daddy or your daddies. You know what I'm saying? On Father's Day.
And
also, again, Father's Day is not just for the biologicals. You know what I'm saying? It's not. Facts. This is not for the moms. Right?
It's never.
Don't go up here and be. Don't be going on Facebook and acknowledging Treacy because she's a great single mom.
Yeah. Let's not do that.
That's what Mother's Day is for. Acknowledge. If you ain't got your dad in your life, man, acknowledge a male figure that's important. Your uncle.
Sure.
A big cousin. A mentor, you know what I'm saying? A friend. Acknowledge the homies. Happy Father's Day, Camp. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you. Thank you. And happy Father's Day to you as well.
You know what I'm saying? Bang be skeeting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Consistently. Hey. And it's working. You dig what I'm saying? And, hey, you know what? Even as we are talking about that, like acknowledging the fathers that are not necessarily the biological fathers. Man, I especially, because this is a very... very pertinent and sensitive topic for me as well, man. Acknowledgement to all the fathers that are struggling to try to reach great dynamics with their children and maybe having some hindrances and some roadblocks, man. You know, just know that you are never defined by your, I don't want to call it mistakes, but you're not defined by your past actions and your past emotions and your past whatever, you know, you always have another day and a greater day to be a greater father in some capacity. I know for a fact that it comes with maybe eating a lot of shit, with swallowing a lot of pride and just and being someone that you didn't think you could be can be a very uncomfortable space. But to all of you fathers out there that maybe are trying to be more active, trying to be more present and are experiencing just those roadblocks, man, prayers to you. Best of blessings to you. Keep trying, keep fighting, because God will have a way of working out everything in your favor. It's not going to come at the right time, but hopefully it does come with you in time to see it, acknowledge it, appreciate it, and move forward with it, man. So salute to, again, just all fathers out there, everybody with a penis that's called a father, and that should be the only people being acknowledged, but respect to any transgenders that may have had children beforehand, like Caitlyn Jenner or something like that, you know?
Yeah, but no, we're not doing the trans father thing. Right?
No.
Not a trans father, your mother.
Yeah, right? Respectfully. You know, yeah, so respectfully. Adopt all the kids you want. You're still mom.
There you go. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we're doing here. And yeah, to add to that, I just saw something on social, and that is a flex. Like, I'm honored that every homie that I have in my life are great fathers. Right? That's
no facts.
I don't have no deadbeats in my circle. You know what I'm saying? Because if we did, we probably would jump him or make him real. We would make him feel real bad that he's not like a good dad.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That, we will shame you. Bring back shame.
No, hey, for sure. Hey, especially shame. In this category, especially us being black men as well. You know what I'm saying? I know, I haven't been on social media super heavy, but I just saw a clip of K. Michelle and Cam Newton talking about like her and her experience living in Nashville versus living in Atlanta, and just like the back and forth of how the music industry works, and how she's saying that she's seeing so many white men that are very successful in the country music space, but you know what? Their night is done by 5 or 6, and they're going home to be with their families and to pouring in their children, pouring into their wife. And she was like, but you go to Atlanta, where it's predominantly us, and daddies be out all night or never coming home or coming home 6 in the morning or just out here just serial skeeting. And it's very important that us, even though I hate the fact that black folks have learned accountability and use it, overuse it on the internet, right? but I do love the fact that you said bring back shame amongst us, though. It's like, bro, you're not even trying to see your kids, son. Like, yeah. Yo, nah, fam, we're not doing that. Like, hey, it'd be different if you was trying and failing. But bro, for you to be like, no, I have no idea, I'm not even trying. Nah, fuck that. You can't even be around us. Like,
yeah,
like everybody is gonna go through something and everybody's gonna have their thing. But yeah, don't be out here trying and thinking it's all good, though.
Yeah, no, bring back shame. I'm with it. I'm a shamer. All right, I've been a shamey. Right. You know what I'm saying? But I'm a shamer. I will shame you for not taking care of your kids. Like, fam, yeah. What are you doing? Sure. Like, you a bum. Like, I will call you a bum. I will call your baby mama and be like, yo, you had a baby by this bum ass nigga. That's your friend.
Hey, yo.
You did more. We didn't do what y'all did, you know. So we will bring back shame. One dad who is a great dad seems like to his kids and will let you know when you have wronged his kids is Rikishi.
That's a fact.
Rikishi Fatu and that podcast. Look, man, if something goes wrong with a Fatu, he gonna let you know. And Jey Uso, something went wrong on Monday. I don't know if I should call this unexpected, because this was so much not a topic that we did not talk about it really last week. Because we just assume that Jey Uso would win the rubber match between him and Gunther, and he would consider. But well, I'll say I assumed.
Okay.
I will say I assumed. I know you was like, nah, it's probably about that time. I just didn't think it was going to be on Monday night.
Yeah, hey.
Well, on Monday night without a cash-in. Let me, because we did talk about a cash-in.
Yeah.
I didn't, so let me rephrase that. We didn't talk about a cash-in not being the reason Jey Uso wins it. We thought that Seth Rollins would cash in and he would win. We did not talk about just a one-on-one and a sleeper hold being put on and Jey Uso losing the title. So if you were under a rock, 4 letters, one word, yeet,
lost.
Yeet, lost, you know what I'm saying? Lost the World Heavyweight Championship, or like we like to call it, the Super Intercontinental Championship, to Gunther. On Monday night, no cash in, just put to sleep. His son was outside. It's like, dad, like it was like Simba and the Lion King when Mustafa was just sitting there, you know, and Jey Uso's son's like, dad, get up. Like, there's a lot of rumors that will probably be cleared up by tomorrow night's Raw, on Monday Night Raw, that we're going to get to. Because we was at least saying do the opposite.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be the case. when it comes to who this person should wrestle. Mm-hmm. But long-term storytelling is it. And we remember when Gunther said some things about this wrestler. Before we get to that wrestler, thoughts on Jey Uso losing the title the way he lost the title?
Man, first, I mean, for me, the intro to the show is everything. They showed Jey Uso with his son. I was like, this fool losing the title tonight. Like, oh, wow, he got his son? Like, they brought his son to Raw? Like, last time we see his son was WrestleMania. And now he on Raw? Oh, he losing. Like, dang. I was like, so? But then I got hyped because I was like, oh, cash in about to go crazy tonight. This is the perfect thing to, you know, send money in the bank and up the ante for it, you know? But then you get to the actual match. And man, sorry, man. That was the Saturday night's main event match again. Like they did the same match. I think there might have been maybe just one different spot, but I hate the Uso splash is just no longer protected at all. you know, even though Rikishi, for obvious reasons, will vehemently disagree with me, I do think this is the right decision. I think they're going to give Gunther his 51 days back. And at the same time, with it being the right decision for Jey to not have the belt, I also don't think it was the best decision for Gunther to beat him for the title clean and just walk to the crib. I just, like, title change, I'm not mad at. I'm mad at the title change, at how it happened and what took place. I still don't think this is the right move for Raw.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think Jey Uso was protected in his loss.
No.
And that's what I have the issue with here, that I don't feel like he was protected in the loss. If it was a cash-in, or if, you know, Kaiser would have came out and helped and everything, then that's one thing. But for him to lose in the sleeper hold.
Yeah. Like, which, you're getting choked out in front of your son.
Right. And me and you talked about this because I was shocked that the sleeper hold became a lethal move again. I didn't like the fact that Jey Uso won with the sleeper hold at Mania. Mm-hmm. Like, the sleeper hold ain't been dangerous since Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Not the million dollar dream.
Yeah, no.
It's about the sleeper. So I'm already against that in the first place. Like, for somebody, correct me if I'm wrong, but I can't tell you when the sleeper hold won a title.
Yeah, title?
Ever, like a world title.
Yeah.
So I'm already upset about that.
Yeah, we probably have to go back to the 1940s or something.
Right, But for it to cause now two title changes and this how Jey lose? Like, that's what I don't like. I don't feel like Jey Uso was protected. Now, I also don't like it for the reason of why Jey Uso may have lost the title. Mm. Now, reportedly, allegedly, Goldberg will be on Raw on Monday to challenge Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship. And it's reported that this match will happen on the July 12th edition of Saturday Night's Main Event.
Okay. Man.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
If this is why we're doing the change, yeah, I don't want that shit.
Yeah, see, and when we talk about all this and everything that we've seen, this is why Seth Rollins needs to win Money in the Bank. Because just in case, we're going to lay eggs all summer. It's like, bro, hey, look, none of this working. Get out there. Get out there, cash in, take over. Like, now, see, now, even though I think it's safe to say that we, as a podcast here, we like to see the new guys or the unexpected challenger, get the money in the bank, or somebody that's just overly deserved a moment. I think even though that we're pro that, I now see why Seth Rollins won the money in the bank now even more, just with what's happening with the Super Intercontinental Championship. Like, yeah, Seth Rollins needs to get in here somewhere and make this interesting. Because, yeah, Goldberg versus Gunther, even though Saturday night's main event, I'm not here for it. I'm not here for it at all.
Because I'm going to give you my guarantee now.
Let's go.
I know we've given early guarantees, but this is probably the earliest 15 minutes within the show.
Right. And actually 10 within the actual wrestling content.
Right. Seth Rollins will be the world champion by or after July 12th. Because my prediction is that Goldberg will defeat Gunther for the championship in a 3 to 5 minute match. And Seth Rollins and them are going to come down there and beat the shit out of Goldberg because of one person. One person. The guy who has redefined the spear will spear Goldberg. And then Seth Rollins is going to give the briefcase up. And then he's going to curb stomp him. And on July 12th, the winner and new world heavyweight champion will be Seth Rollins.
Hey, not mad at it at all. Gotta get a couple tsunamis in there because he's Goldberg. Do tsunamis for Brett. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Two tsunamis for Brett, bro.
I think Brett would love that if that was the case. But yeah, I didn't agree with it.
Yeah.
Now I understand if my guarantee is the move.
Yeah.
If Seth Rollins is not the champion by July 13th.
Yeah.
This was for nothing. All of this to me is for nothing. Then for me, my thought process goes into, if this is the case, then Big Cuz got to come in and fight for the family now. He ain't trying to save the WWE. He really trying to do it for himself, but you fucking up family right now.
Yeah.
You fucking with family right now. So this, to me, should also lead to Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins at SummerSlam. It's time.
Yo, hey. And SummerSlam is two nights. And again, respectfully, Gunther or Jey Uso on the lead poster for SummerSlam 2025. I'm sorry, for me right now, it just ain't hitting. For me, not like that. Not especially like when we got the implication of Roman versus Seth. Like, nah.
Yeah, like,
you know what I'm saying?
If this don't end with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins night one or night two, at SummerSlam for that championship and finally being able to put that championship on the pedal that they've been trying to get it at in the first place, all of this is for nothing, in my opinion.
No, I'm with you.
Of this is for nothing. Because, like, what would be the reason for it not to happen unless Roman Reigns is filming a movie? Like, because he's supposed to be Akuma in the latest live action Street Fighter. It's supposed to be Akuma. They're filming that shit then, all right, I get it.
Right.
If they're not, then we need to see Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, SummerSlam, World Heavyweight Championship. Boom. That's it. Oh, look at B-Dot making amends.
Yo.
Banks, you gonna respond to that in the chat?
I love this.
Waiting for that response in the chat. let's talk about the title reign. You've been a critic of this title reign, for Jey Uso. So now that it's over, like, what do you feel like now that it's over, how do you feel about this title reign, and what do you feel like is next? Do you feel like Jey Uso gets lost in the shadows, or do you feel like he's gonna be one of those perennial world champion contenders, get a couple of reigns Or do you feel like this is a one and done type of situation?
Right now, as I look at it, it does like a one and done world title reign. However, if you were to tell me by the time we get to even 2028, 29, that Jey Uso is a three-time Intercontinental Champion or like a two-time and two-time U.S., you know, champion or whatever, I wouldn't be mad at that at all. I think Jey is in a very unique spot to where he can probably outsell the average champion. Like, as far as ticket sales and merch and all that, obviously the crowd loves to yeet and do all that. And he's a focal point. He is a legitimate superstar in the world of wrestling. But I do not think that he is a world champion. And honestly, I think it's because of how they position this. I think they led to the underdog story way too long. I think that the sell of him going on offense because everybody think they can beat him because he's the champ, I think that was a bad move. I don't think I don't know if it's the writing, I don't know if it's the continuity, I don't know if it's just the people that he was paired with in storyline. Nobody did a great job of selling Jey Uso the world champ to me, including Jey Uso. Like, even for this back and forth with Gunther, Gunther was just like, hey, you know what? I just lost because I was off my game. Like, you can never beat me. Like, that was the storyline. It was like, hey, bro, no, hey, look, I'm going to get that back. Yeah, you got me. It's just like, yeah, you hit me, but I'm killing you though. Watch this. And you know, that didn't do Jay any favors. And there is a fine line of selling merch, being who the kids admire, getting the arena going versus being a quality champion. And I mean, hey, look, I say that. And even though I think this is a Gunther podcast as well, I don't think he's been the greatest world champion for Raw either. I think all this has been in disarray. But which again, this is all making the Seth Rollins storyline hit harder. He was like, yo, no, that's my belt. Like, you don't even care about everybody else with it. This belt only matters when it's around my waist. So yeah, unfortunately, man, I don't see world title in the picture for him again, but it's far from over for him. Like, don't anybody expecting a great fall off, or you think this is a travesty or an injustice and like he'll never be this hot again? No, Jay's still hot as fish grease right now. He just didn't need the belt.
Yeah, I see a Kofi Kingston type situation here. I see Russ put that up in the chat. You're right. They led with the underdog thing too much. I think once he won it at WrestleMania, out of all places, the underdog story should have been done from there. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't. I think also your dance partner matters too. And as much as I love Gunther, I agree with you. But here's the main reason why I would agree with you. It's because I've been calling this belt the Super Intercontinental Championship since day one.
Yeah.
The belt needs to be put in a position where it matters. Mm-hmm. And even when Seth Rollins had it, I don't think it mattered.
Mm-hmm.
It was not in a feud that I felt like made it matter, made it a coveted belt. So when you introduce a new belt, which I think this is what the problems they're having with the women's mid-card belts.
Yeah.
Is that when is it going to matter? Like, when is it going to be placed in a situation where it's like, oh, shit, I'll give you a perfect example. of what I'm talking about. It's a championship that I've talked about on this podcast that I loved, and it is my favorite non-world title. It is the WCW television title. Arn Anderson made that bitch coveted when he had it. Sting made it coveted when he had it. They put the TV championship in prime spots when it was the NWA TV championship. You had a best of seven series at one point for this joint. Mm-hmm. It mattered because you put the belt and you put the wrestlers in prime position. Mm-hmm. Dane did that well in the WWE when it comes to these belts. Chelsea Green owned it because of her character.
Yeah.
But now, with Zelina Vega having it, it lost its luster. And they're trying to get that back on the IC side with Becky having the belt and Bayley coming back, which we'll get into later in the show. Mm-hmm. Could that make the Intercontinental Championship matter? That's the issue that I have with the WWE. Is outside of the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship, what belt matters?
Yeah.
What was, I know I probably feel differently than the internet wrestling community, people who listen to this podcast, people that might see our content on social for the first time. They might like, yo, this dude don't know what he's talking about. But let me break this down for you. John Cena has the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship. It matters because he's in a, it matters because he is in a program of saying that he's the last real world heavyweight champion.
Facts.
World champion. The world championships, like, the United States championship. Jacob Fatu matters. I don't think it matters that he got the belt, though.
No. It doesn't.
But he matters. Dominic Mysterio, Intercontinental Championship. That belt don't matter. He's just owning the moment. But he's defended that belt against Octagon, Penta. Who else?
Yeah, that's true. Now he's, because he's also been a champ for 51 days.
Not been in a match that really defines that belt yet. Now, some of this stuff take time, but he ain't been in that yet. Yeah. But Dominic Mysterio was over like Rover before that belt.
Yeah.
He didn't need it. It is an accessory on him right now.
Yeah.
The tag team belts don't matter right now. The women's championships, Tiffany Stratton is a champion. Throughout probably one of the worst first pitches of all time. She ain't been in a few yet to define it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So that was my question to you then, because we grew up with this ideology, right? So tell me, how many champs are making the titles today? Or are there any champions making the titles, or is it strictly the titles making the champions now?
John Cena. Because he's putting something on that belt. I'm the last real world champion.
Yeah.
Y'all not going to see nothing like this when I leave. And you know what? While this might be a storyline, it's truth.
Yeah.
Because to me, when I think of world champion on this roster, right now, just right now, I believe that John Cena is the only one that really feels like a legitimate champion on this roster, on the main roster. Sorry.
Fair.
That just, it don't feel like world champions right now.
Hey, and
nobody does.
And to be fair, I think if we all really sat back, we would feel this way. The only champion that or the only superstar that we would definitely want to see or even feel that we would need to see two nights a week is John Cena. Like, there's not even another superstar that I think right now that we're like, man, if they were on SmackDown and Raw, shit would be lit. I don't even think we're getting that anymore. So, no. Man.
Like, you tell me. Like, you tell me. Io Sky don't even feel like the world champion.
Yeah.
Like, I'ma say this again. John Cena is the only person that really feels like a champion that's holding a belt right now. Mm-hmm. It don't feel like it's an accessory. For everybody else that's holding a championship, it feels like that. Even mm-hmm. when you look at now, John Cena saying, I'm going to put CM Punk in a weird position based off of a tweet he created years ago. Mm-hmm. If you want to wrestle me for this belt, you're going to have to come to Saudi Arabia and wrestle me. And yeah. What did I say 2 weeks ago, Kemp? I think it was Russ that said, hey, CM Punk ain't going up to Saudi Arabia. That's dead. It's like, yes, he is. Yeah. I said, if the belt is on the line, yes, it is.
Yeah.
If it's a good storyline, yes, it is. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to want to go. But the match deserves it. So yeah. At Night of Champions, John Cena, CM Punk, feels like a main event match. Mm-hmm. There's no other matches that's being made with these titles on the line that feels like a main event match. Yeah. All of the belts outside of that one belt feels like a mid-carder, and I am starting to wonder if that's how WWE wanted it in the first place. Hmm. Because if you do not have Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns at SummerSlam, if Roman Reigns ain't got no other shit going on, there's nothing with Seth Rollins versus except one person. And let's just say, depending on who wins the King of the Ring, mm-hmm. it's not going to be Roman Reigns.
Gotcha.
Because whoever wins gets the title shot at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And we'll get into who we think will be that a little bit later in the show too. Mm-hmm. My thing is even with the people that's, okay, matter of fact, let's just go to it. Let's just do this, right? let's go to SummerSlam and, well, Night of Champions, excuse me. Let's go to Night of Champions and let's look at who is currently in the the final four or yeah. will be in the final four. Mm-hmm. So right now, right, we have Sami Zayn versus Randy Orton. And Cody Rhodes versus either Bronson Reed, Rusev, Sheamus, or Jey Uso.
Yeah, so he getting a bye, basically.
So. So, I'll tell you right now. My King of the Ring standings ain't changed. Mm-hmm. To me, Sami Zayn wins this.
Okay.
Which also make it even more sense if Seth Rollins cashes in when I say he should cash in.
True.
Because I will say, Seth Rollins versus Sami Zayn at SummerSlam, because of how the crowd is going to react to Sami Zayn, is going to feel like a night one main event.
I'm mad at that.
It also makes me feel like Jey Uso is going to be a little jealous. But it does. There you go, Russ. But it does make me feel like that Cody Rhodes, John Cena is going to cost Cody Rhodes his match against Jey Uso. And Sami Zayn is going to defeat Randy Orton. Sami, Jey, King of the Ring. Sami wins. Sami challenges Seth Rollins or Gunther. You got history with both, but Sami Zayn challenges Seth Rollins for the World Championship at SummerSlam. You get Seth telling Sami how he ain't shit. He ain't gonna never be shit. You should have jumped down. You're never gonna be a world champion. He's going to Ron Simmons this man. How Lex Luger was, he's gonna be that. By that time, the group would have a name. He would have to go up against all odds. Mm-hmm. Not saying Sami will win. He might get Booker T'd. But I really truly feel that Sami Zayn will be King of the Ring and be wrestling Seth Rollins at SummerSlam for the World Heavyweight Championship. Mm-hmm. And I believe that match right there, if you take the King of the Ring, if you involve it, I believe that makes the belt matter.
Okay. And you know, it's hard to dispute. That's hard to dispute. Because even as I look at this, yeah, part of me do want to see Sami Zayn versus Jey Uso, but Cody and Jay, like that, there's somebody, one of them three can't be a face by the end of this year. Like what?
Well, all right, Cody's not gonna be a face by the end of this year. Jay, he's selling too much merch.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So it's But no, I'm not mad at Sami Zayn because also in great John Cena fashion, the story, like I like the potential promos between Sami Zayn and John Cena. Like I love the implications of them. Cause the plot twist might be, it's like, hey Sami, you're really probably the only guy that can really fuck with me in like this whole champion thing. I don't know why it's not happening for you. Or he'll be like, yo, I know why it's not happening for you. You're going to learn something from this. It's like, and now you're off to the races. So, you know, and then it all coming back to Seth Rollins. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's long form storytelling. That's story continuity. That's giving everybody what they want, which is Sami Zayn getting legitimate shots at the world title. And even if he was to win it and lose it, man, the reaction for the robbery even becomes great.
Exactly.
It's honestly win-win.
That's what I said. Seth Rollins, Sami Zayn makes that belt matter. Because now we want to see somebody win it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be real. There's not been a match that made me go, I want that person to win that world championship belt. Because even when Jey Uso beat Gunther for it, it wasn't that I really wanted him to win the belt. I thought he was the uncrowned champion in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Sami being denied these opportunities make me go, nah, I want him to win that belt. It is the closest to Daniel Bryan type shit as you can get. It is close to Yes Movement shit than that you can get. And Sami versus Seth makes me cheer for Sami. Yeah. Especially when you got the Bronze and Paul Heyman just sitting there trying to keep you away from getting that belt. Just trying to move you over there. So I do like that. Now, to go back to the Jey Uso joint, I've talked about this before. Jey Uso's title reign definitely reminds me of 1992 Bret Hart. It reminds me of Bret Hart beating Ric Flair in Saskatchewan to win the world championship.
Saskatoon. There we go.
It gives me those vibes. It gives me the vibes of people not caring that he wrestled Shawn Michaels at SummerSlam for the title. It gives me vibes of people don't care that he wrestled Razor Ramon for the title and all of that stuff. It didn't do well for me. It feels like a placeholder for something else. And when you look at what we have here, you have Brett losing to Yokozuna to lose to Hogan to get it back. Jey Uso losing to Gunther to lose it, if my guarantee happens, to Goldberg, but to not get it back. It would be, as I stated, that on Saturday night's main event, that Goldberg would get cashed in on, and by the end of the, July 12th, Saturday night's main event, Seth Rollins is the champ. Until Jey Uso gets away from the underdog thing and being to what his family is, or even getting to Big Jim, nobody's bitch.
Yeah.
Then if he don't get to that, well, he might as well just re-tag with Jim and make the tag team division stronger. But this definitely gives me 1992 Brett vibes, even to how he loses the belt and what may happen. The thing is that we know what Brett became after WrestleMania 10.
Yeah, see.
I don't know if there's going to be Jay.
And that is the issue. Like, as a person, because look, I lived through both times. I was genuinely shocked when Bret Hart beat Ric Flair. It didn't even matter. It didn't have to be at Rosemont. Him winning that Saskatoon challenge, him winning that WrestleMania. Bret Hart beating Ric Flair anywhere at that time was a shocker to me. But fast forward, I picked Jey Uso to win the Royal Rumble and win the title because I was like, this is the ultimate heat check. However, I think what I'm learning through this, because you can still be a wrestling fan that's been watching for decades and still learn. What I'm learning here is that the hottest guy in the company may not need the belt. And because you don't know what's necessarily making them hot. And Jey Uso has had the privilege to have a hell of a ROI from the Tribal Chief bloodline run. I'm now in the mindset that nobody, hands down, nobody has benefited more from the Tribal Chief run than Jey Uso. Not Roman Reigns, even though he's the longest reigning champion of the modern era. Not even Sami Zayn, who was hotter than fish grease. But hey, realistically, when has Sami Zayn not been hot? You dig? So now I look at Jay, and I was like, yeah, when this started, this was just you fighting with your cousin. You've got a chance to, in your own way, co-main event quite a few PLEs, and you've even got a title run out of it. And I don't think anybody saw that coming, especially if we're going just back as short as 2 years ago. I think the moment was bigger than him, but I think the people wanted it so bad that you can't not give it to him, because Jey Uso was also one of those guys that if you wait too long, if you wait outside this window, then everything they did the first two quarters don't make sense. And you got to make it make sense. A guy that hot, that's got the control of the audience that much, like he's Steve Austin, what era? Where obviously Austin's past his prime, but boy, can he still get over. And boy, can he get that crowd engaged. And boy, do you need him on that bill, because he's going to move the units. But at that same time, we forget Austin really wasn't the champ. Like, Austin wasn't the guy at the front of the marquee. He was just the people's champ, the people's favorite. And I think that's what Jey Uso's done a great job of being. But we never were here for the Jey Uso matches. We were never here because Jey Uso was the greatest talker. We were never here because Jey Uso was definitely one of the people pinned to be next in the lineage of just great world champions or just great wrestlers, period. So I think this run was at best is 92 Bret Hart, because there won't be a 97 Bret Hart for Jey Uso. And maybe that's me, you know, maybe I'm being pessimistic, but y'all got to show me what you see that, I mean, that I don't, because I don't see title 2, 3, 4, and 5 for, I don't see 2 and 3 for Jey Uso when we're talking world titles.
Yeah. And to add on to that, what I didn't like about the Bret Hart title run, and this is something that Denzel Washington had talked to Michael B. Jordan about, apparently. You don't want to be seen too much. I think I saw Bret Hart too much after he won that championship, because he wanted to be a fighting champion. Mm-hmm. When you start seeing him defend the belt against Virgil on a Superstars episode, it's like, like, I think they went out of their way to try to show us that Bret wasn't Hogan. They then quickly realized that Bret wasn't Hogan in 1992. But when they start feeding him opponents that we know, like, all right, when you start seeing Bret versus Taker, Bret versus Diesel, Bret versus Psycho Sid, Bret versus Shawn Michaels when Shawn Michaels was Shawn Michaels. When you start seeing Bret against those people, and often, hell, Bret versus Owen, because I still think Owen should have won that SummerSlam match. And WrestleMania 11 should have been Bret versus Owen. Brother versus brother, return match. Like, we not going to get that.
Yeah.
Because they ain't gave us a match that make us go, well, Jey Uso could beat Cody Rhodes. They ain't gave us that.
Right.
And that's who's going to wrestle on Raw. And he either going to win by some finessing, but he ain't going to beat Cody clean.
Yeah.
And that's not going to help. Because I can tell you, when I realized that The Rock was going to be a world champion, not early in his career, I knew he was a blue chipper, 5-2 prospect type shit. No. He wrestled The Undertaker and Kane on Raws leading up to the Deadly Game tournament.
Mm.
That's when I knew. I said, oh, they got him against The Undertaker on the main event on Raw. The Rock out here with the swishy pants and the practice jersey wrestling. The Rock about to win. And maybe this is something that the WWE needs to fix. But who's the wrestler in the WWE right now? This is a legit question, y'all. I want legit answers. Who's the wrestler in the WWE that if I am a fan and they wrestled, I know that person's just moved up on the card?
Wow.
Who's that person?
Wow.
Bust it open, y'all fill me in. Jonathan Hood, y'all fill me in. Mark Henry, Bully Ray, y'all fill me in. When I knew people started wrestling and having dope matches with The Undertaker and Kane during their era in the Attitude Era,
yeah,
I knew something was up with that person. They are about to get moved up on the card. Who's that guy?
Wow.
Yo, when you go over on him, you go over. That's what I'm saying. Who's that guy that if I beat him, that lets the crowd know that's a world champion on the way?
Russ, even though I do feel your example, he's ascending still.
Yeah, they know it's not Dominic Mysterio.
So you know the name, a lot of names came through my mind of who it should be.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me clarify for Russ. Mm-hmm. Not the person who will ascend. Who do you beat to ascend? Mm-hmm. who's the wrestler on the card currently, right now, when you beat him, that shows that you just ascended to another level.
Who it's supposed to be is Drew McIntyre. He's the closest.
But then you got Damian Priest challenging Jacob Fatu. My whole point about why I didn't like that shit in the first place.
Yep.
If it's Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest should have challenged John Cena the next fucking Monday.
Yep.
He didn't. He challenged Jacob Fatu on Friday.
Yep.
Yep. So again, who do you beat? Who's the person you beating? You like, oh shit.
You next. Like, yeah, he was like, okay, wow. So you know the next mountain. It's got to be homie. Like, yeah. Like, and to be real, man, wow, this is an important question because this is the aspect of champions, wrestlers making titles versus titles making them. Like, this is really it because you know that class, the class that it should be, and we should be able to pick one of these guys out of the lineup, but it should be AJ Styles, Finn Balor, or Drew McIntyre. It should be one of those three guys or all three of those guys since we got two brands, so to speak. But yeah, there is not that definitive line where it's like, okay, I just had the program with them. I got over. I'm obviously next. Because, yeah, all roads led to The Undertaker before you faced Bret Hart, Stone Cold, or Shawn Michaels. It had to be that way. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not Roman Reigns either.
Right. It's not because Roman Reigns is, lack of a better term, he's at the head of the table.
Yeah. Yeah. Bro, Roman Reigns is actually. Well, no, you know, Roman Reigns did his job. He got five people over in one shot without wrestling them. Like, everybody got over. Bro, Roman Reigns high key is the Bobby Heenan of this era. If we keep it real, because he got over every single family member he could. A white guy, a returning white guy, and the elder white man that's always been cool with his family. He got everybody over to another level without, and he only wrestled two of them.
Yeah, that's who's the guy that when you beat him, you ascend.
Yeah, that's important. That's really important.
Very important. For me, that is very important in the trajectory of a wrestler. If he beats insert person here, now, I don't care if it's by disqualification,
right,
count out, submission, straight pin.
Yeah.
When I beat him, you go, oh. I give you example. Another example. It just didn't work out for this wrestler.
Mm.
But when they had Shelton Benjamin go over on Triple H, you was like, you start looking at Shelton Benjamin differently.
Mm-hmm.
When Jeff Hardy wrestled The Undertaker,
mm-hmm,
just wrestled him. Ladder match, just wrestled him. I started looking at Jeff Hardy differently.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy that makes you look at the wrestler differently just by being in the ring with them, going head to head with them, beating them?
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre is supposed to be that guy, but Damian Priest challenged Jacob Fatu.
Yeah.
I think that is a big issue that a lot of people are not going to think about when it comes to WWE programming right now. LA Knight has not had, to me, a credible feud since he's been this person.
Yeah.
John Cena was supposed to be that for Austin Theory, but he was not put on that pedestal.
Yeah.
They made it seem like right off the bat that it was a fluke for him beating John Cena.
Yeah.
Off the bat. they made it seem like it's a fluke.
And also, Austin Theory didn't do himself any favors by cashing in his money in the bank to win the U.S. title again. Like, Cena can't fix everything. Like, you gotta do your part.
Cause I'll even word the question better for y'all in a wrestling way. Cause it's a difference between what I just said and what I'm gonna say right now. But I'll ask the question better in this way for people to understand it. Who's in simple wrestling terms, who's the wrestler that when you go over on them, you ascend currently right now in the WWE? Who's that wrestler who is the benchmark? When you go over on them, you ascend. Who's the top of the mid card, the top of the lower card? Who's that person that you beat to move up? Because I'm also going to blame this on the fans as well. Because let's use Austin Theory. Y'all didn't take Austin Theory seriously when he beat John Cena. Let's use Fandango. Fandango beat Chris Jericho at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Next night, y'all was doing this shit. But once it got boring to you, you stop.
Yeah.
Who's that wrestler? Russ said it should be Randy Orton. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that.
And that's why if Sami Zayn beats Randy Orton to go to the finals, that's exactly the point that I'm talking about. Who's that person you beat that make the fans go, oh, shit?
Yeah. I'll hit him now. This his year.
And that's the point. It should be Randy Orton. It should be Drew McIntyre. If he was at a different level than he was before he got hurt, it should be Sheamus. It should be those wrestlers.
Yeah.
But we're so paying attention so much. We're paying attention so much to finishing the story and the bloodline. It ain't Solo. It's not. Yeah, but no. It should be.
It was definitely supposed to be. Again, hey, listen, man.
And yeah, you're right. It should be also Finn Balor and AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah. Like, a lot of things should be this way, but I think a lot of this is just people not doing their part to get themselves over in that capacity. Like, you know, we as the, you know, wrestling watcher, listener, supporter, fan, whatever you want to call us, we quick to say, oh, give this person a chance, put this person in the program to get the title, you know, do all these different things. But do we really mean that? And have they really done everything to say, boom, we should make it happen? Like, Solo's entry into the main roster was damn near perfect. But yet, he couldn't win a match to save his life when he was on the Jacob Fatu trajectory, and he's had world title matches that nobody believes he's going to win. So I think even as they're put in that position, he too needed to, like, maybe beating John Cena at Saudi Mania in a drive-by thumbing, maybe that wasn't the best route. Maybe he was supposed to, no, let me beat Drew McIntyre clean. Let me beat AJ Styles or Randy Orton clean, like somebody that's more active on the roster, somebody that even the casual fan today knows, and it's like, oh wow, you beat him. Oh, now we getting somewhere, and that didn't happen. I mean, unfortunately, yeah, beating John Cena. Anytime you beat John Cena, it's a stat, it's a feat. But unfortunately, what's next for you after you beat the Legacy Act? You know, like You got to beat the active dude. Beating the legacy act is a feat. It's always a stat. Never get that wrong. But you got to beat the OG that's outside still.
Yeah, when you wrestled The Undertaker and had a dope match with him, when you wrestled Kane and have a dope match with him, or maybe even beat them in some type of way, that let me know you was up next.
Mm-hmm.
That lets me know that you're going to be a world champion soon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we have that person here right now in the WWE, which is part of the reason why I believe that we are in some of the situations that we're in when we look at the titles and even on the women's side. Like, who's that person? I don't know. That makes you go, they beat that person, they go over on them. It's world championship time. Let's also get into some back into some Night of Champions talk before we talk about Ron the Truth real quick. Roxanne Perez or Jade Cargill versus Alexa Bliss or Alba Fire, Ivy Nile, Raquel Rodriguez, and Stephanie Vaquer for the final spot.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to the final four, who should win that final spot?
Oh man, all lines point to Stephanie Vaquer. Like, yeah. And with who's next? Yeah. Because shit, high key, speaking to your other point, Alexa Bliss is becoming that woman that you got to beat to get to the other side. So, yeah. And look, and hey, any of these girls, Roxanne, Jade, or Stephanie, they go over on Alexa Bliss right now. It's like, oh, okay, no, we should take her dead serious.
So when we look at Roxanne Perez and Jade Cargill, I think that's the easy pick right there. That's Jade Cargill.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Even though we love the Prodigy.
Yeah. And I'm glad that they this is one of the transitions where the dominance has increased for her. I like what they're doing with her call up. This is a really good call up.
Because I got another goddamn team.
Okay.
I actually got a cold ass guarantee. If this shit happens, y'all pencil this in to me. As somebody who weeks before it happened called the greatest cash in history, you'll see where I'm going. All right, so then we got Alexa Bliss versus Stephanie Vaquer. Mm-hmm. Do we bring Steph in here or is it Alexa Bliss that would be wrestling in full clothing in Saudi Arabia?
So I'm clear on this. If it's Jade, it's Alexa. But if it's Roxanne, it's Stephanie. Mm. I do because again, this is still Queen of the Ring, and just to be real, we can't have another Zelina Vega situation. Let's just keep it a buck. So, and hey, look, I'm still in the mindset. My guarantee from last week or whatever ain't really changed. Because I got Jade coming out of this, and this is all going to lead to Naomi getting the title.
Like, so, let me go to my second guarantee.
Let's go.
Now, this is not a prediction, this is goes farther than that.
Mm-hmm.
Guarantees are things we would like to happen too.
Yeah.
To have Jade as the Queen of the Ring and Naomi as the Money in the Bank holder.
Mm-hmm.
My prediction is before SummerSlam, Bianca Belair will win the Women's Championship from Tiffany Stratton. And in fact, I think the only reason why she ain't got it right now is because her fingers fucked up.
Mm.
Which is going to lead in what I had said a week prior. A triple threat match.
Yeah.
For the Women's World Championship at SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. Naomi, Jade, Bianca. That could possibly main event any pay-per-view.
For sure.
But it will be the second It would be the second to last match, night two, at SummerSlam. First time ever a triple threat match with three black women being a co-main event at a pay-per-view or PLE. I won't put my life on the line or put my house on the line, but I will tell y'all now, WWE, y'all look at me. Do it. Do it. Bianca, Jade, Naomi, triple threat match, SummerSlam, Women's Championship. Yeah. Naomi needs to force herself in that match when Jade gets the belt and Bianca beats Tiffany Stratton for the belt. Do it, y'all.
Hey, I'm sorry. That's night one main event with every potential card outcomes. I mean, the only match that we've even speculated on being bigger than that is Seth versus Roman. That's it, and that should be night two anyway. Like so, and if John Cena not the champ for some reason, like if for some reason CM Punk is gonna beat John Cena in Saudi, then yeah, no, and even Punk would agree. Look, I don't have a program that's gonna be better than this. Like we need to do this.
Sound
right.
Like some shit Punk could say too. Like I'm dead serious, y'all. That's it. Jade wins. Naomi got the money in the bank. They both looking at each other crazy, like bitch. They both tweeting each other, bitch. And then Bianca gets the belt. Both of them. That long ass stare down, where Jade gave Bianca a couple of weeks ago. Bitch, I don't trust you. Bitch, I don't trust you. And here's the thing, Kemp. I don't care if it's a cash in. Because that's what it would be in the first place. That shit will turn into a triple threat at SummerSlam. I'm not saying you got the little graphic, all three of them on the graphic. No. You have the looming fact. That is, if it's Jade, Bianca, because I do believe that Bianca will have that belt before SummerSlam. When it's Bianca versus Jade, you have the looming threat of Naomi cashing in on one of y'all, and she don't like none of y'all asses. She don't. Mm-hmm. And then, as the match progresses, 20 minutes into the match, Naomi runs down there, and it's now a triple threat match. And Naomi becomes the new WWE Women's Champion. Mm-hmm. That's my guarantee.
Okay.
Once Jade wins Queen of the Ring.
Yeah.
Simple. Okay. Get ready, y'all. Three black women, main event, SummerSlam, or co-main event. Have y'all want to place it? Prime spot, the match before the main event, all of that. The sisters with suplexes are exploding at SummerSlam in New York.
That's just how I like it.
To the point where, hey, I wouldn't even be surprised if Cardi B helps Naomi win the belt.
Hey, listen. That's what's definitely gonna happen. Cardi B is gonna interject herself into a match. That is definitely going to happen.
That would be the one. That's all I'm saying. All right, man. Before we get into Ron the Truth killings, CM Punk getting that check for Saudi. You're getting that check. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Do you think, though, there is a shot that CM Punk would win this joint?
Yeah, honestly, I do. I honestly do. CM Punk has to make his comeback make sense too now. Like, if he keep losing or getting injured before or after title matches, then you're not really here to make money. Like, you here for the copay at this point. So. But But I say that to say, I am still waiting on the second half of the John Cena retirement run, even though, again, I am enjoying some elements of this. And I love how he's kind of like imploding his own storyline with just this past Friday on SmackDown. But there has to be another reset. There has to be something else. And to be real, CM Punk holding the undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship is not the worst thing that could be happening, you know, right now. You know what I mean? Like, because John Cena needs real opponents too. You know, that's the other piece. John Cena needs real opponents, not named Cody Rhodes, not named Randy Orton, that we can, again, have him close out his career the right way with. So to me right now, it's 50-50. And depending on what I see in the next couple weeks, I'll have my decision on deck.
Yeah, we will see. No, but man, like, CM Punk needs better opponents. This is the opponent that John Cena needs to solidify the heel turn. But we also see, and I know some people saying this person turned heel, I don't know what the fuck going on, but Ron Killings, he came back on Monday, he said a couple of things. Don't let anybody tell you your voice doesn't matter. R-Truth can be funny all the time, can be too funny all the time. R-Truth can be too nice, and he's too forgiving. Not me. R-Truth, the truth has set me free. I am Ron Killings. I am the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now put some respect on my name. Now, Bully Ray had some thoughts about this, basically saying, if you're going to be Ron Killings, don't say shit about the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, no truth. Just be Ron Killings. I sent you a video of what Ron Killings basically said, which left David LaGreca and, right, fam, to see Natty and David LaGreca's face, like, oh, yep.
Yeah.
You won, big black man.
Right. Natty's face was extra stiff that day.
Yeah. Natty was like, oh. And then I know he had the little silhouette blender, so you won't see nobody in the background. But it sounded like his wife was like, oh no, babe, you on TV or some shit like that. And it was like, I think it was like a little kid that was walking past. So he said that shit in front of company. That culturally, that's what I noticed. Somebody was like, baby, hold on. There was a kid just walking in the background. You know, white people, when they hear black people cuss in front of kids, they get
right, serious business.
Like, oh, uh-oh. But then on SmackDown, he basically beat the shit out of John Cena a couple of times. Where are we going with this?
That's a very important question, because here we are again with the WWE fans active for something, and the WWE making a plan that they don't even know they don't want. Because, be clear, the audience wanted to bring back "What's up, R-Truth," not "Who the fuck you talking to? I'm Ron Killings."
Oh, so you?
They didn't ask for this. So, I want to be so clear on that, because, again, like we were talking last week, I'm like, bro, R-Truth is not going to go to TNA and become the champ next week. Like, stop this. Nobody was screaming for Truth because they wanted R-Truth matches. The wild thing about his promo is that it's absolutely correct. But the reason why it's absolutely correct is that he's talking to the audience that's saying that, bro, but we like the entertaining stuff. We like when you're dancing, rapping, making jokes. Like, that's what we want to stay here. So even the fact of you coming back and you're not even willing to do that anymore, now people don't want to say it. But now you can future endeavor him and it's all good though. Now, ain't it? Now it's cool because you ain't heard the music. You ain't heard the, you know, I can't wait for the Royal Rumble. Oh, wait, no, it already passed. Like, you're not getting that. And that's about to be a hard pill to swallow. But let's keep it real. Nobody asked for Ron Killings to come back. People wanted to be entertained by R-Truth, and they thought it was wrong. Again, it's when you fire an OG Earnest, but everybody fuck with OG Earnest. They didn't say promote Earnest, make him the supervisor, and now you gotta listen to what he's saying. I just wanted to kick it with the OG. I didn't say he in charge of scheduling now. That's what this is.
Let me first say, Miriam talked about that whole segment last week, the whole entire day. She's just like, yo, do y'all compare wrestlers to like workers? Like often on the show, do y'all? I was like, nah, we just ran with that one. That just happened to, but to your point, Kemp, man, that was my first thought. My first thought for white men ages 18 to 34, y'all wanted to be entertained by R-Truth. Now that R-Truth is being serious, you're wondering what the hell is going on and if I really want this.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool, but it's going to have to lead to something. And if he's doing this to John Cena before John Cena wrestles CM Punk, what does this lead to? And let me just say this now. I don't think people want this to lead to a two-man power trip with R-Truth and John Cena. No.
Yeah, no.
And I don't think people wanted this to lead to an actual real no comedy match between John Cena and R-Truth.
Nope.
I don't believe that. I'm with you. I think people wanted to bring back the hilarious, funny character, the black man that made me laugh, chuckle. Oh, man, R-Truth, he's going to make somebody break. Now he can cut off the last two braids. He out here looking like a futuristic villain in a 80s movie.
He looks like the alternate version of Wesley Snipes and Demolition Man.
Yeah. That's what I'm about to say. He looks like a villain in an 80s and 90s movie in a movie set in 2026. That's what he looks like. That's what shit look like. He look like an 80s, 90s movie villain in a movie that was set in 2026. Yeah. Post-apocalyptic 2026. So now y'all ain't getting shucking and jiving R-Truth.
Yeah. He's adamant about it.
Where does this go? That's my whole thing. Where does this go?
You know where this go, Bang? This go to his original expired contract date. That's where this go. It go to his original expired contract date. Hey, let me change this character. Let me. Y'all gonna get the heat, but we gonna subdue the heat. We gonna kill my pop, and then all of a sudden 3 months gonna go by and I ain't gonna be on the roster no more, and it's all good. Because that's what be happening. We don't be seeing R-Truth every week. There was a whole year and a half we didn't see R-Truth, and then he just popped up one day and was just making jokes. And that's when Vince was around.
Now he's Simon Phoenix. don't want Archie's right. cussing me out.
Right.
All I'm just saying, and he know this too, these folks wanted me to come back and laugh and hee hee ha 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 with them. I want to be taken seriously. Yeah. Well, internet wrestling community, what say you? Are you taking yeah. R-Truth? Are you taking Ron Killing seriously? Or do you want to laugh and chuckle with R-Truth? Because if they keep doing this with Ron Killings, you going to end up wanting him to win a title that he's not going to win.
Yeah,
and I exactly. ain't talking about beating Jacob Fatu or Dominic Mysterio. You going to want him to wrestle John Cena, beat John Cena. Mm-hmm. But he going to wrestle John Cena on a random SmackDown, lose. And y'all going to be like, all right, bring back the laughing R-Truth. He's already said no.
Yeah.
What do you do then? Oh man, we shouldn't have never did this. Bring back. We shouldn't have. We gonna shut up from now on. Now our voice is heard. Now we gonna shut up. This is nothing. Let me just say this. This ain't nothing against R-Truth. It goes directly to the people that Bryan Danielson, said was finicky.
Mm-hmm.
Fickle fans, you all. That's
yeah man. Hey, so hey again man, be careful what you wish for. Hey, the front office has been listening to the audience a little more than they would like if we're really looking at all of this the past year. And hey, look, Jey Uso was part of that. Jey Uso, Sammy and Kevin winning the tag titles at WrestleMania is part of that. The New Day turning on Big E, but not turning on them is part of the, hey, listen, hey, I'm now about to be on the side of the establishment because y'all making too many proclamations, aspirations, and situations that ain't helping wrestling. Just saying.
Y'all just wanted a brother to suck and jive. That's all y'all wanted. All right, man. It is now that time of Do We Care? Towards the end of the show, before we do any guarantees, we talk about if we care about some certain things that's going on in the wrestling community right now. I will start with the Bella twins. So Nikki Bella, she's back. Looks like an evolution. Do we care about evolution? This would be a question, but it looks like an evolution. It's going to be Liv Morgan versus Nikki Bella. Mm-hmm. Do we care that Nikki Bella is back? And do we care that apparently TMZ says that Brie Bella is working out a new deal with the WWE to return? Do we care about the Bellas being back?
I'm not going to say we don't care, but I will say that they should be aware that they got to show up way different than they arrived originally and when they left, though.
I care for this reason. It's what Becky Lynch was talking about. We can't be getting the women out of here once they turn 37.
Yeah.
Like, nah, we gotta have more people around. This is also why I had said a while ago that they should turn Main Event into a women's only show. Mm-hmm. To be able to continue some of these storylines. Brie Bella coming back is interesting. Donnie just said lead to her husband returning, but he said recently that he will be at All In Texas. So he ain't going nowhere. He's AEW, it looks like, for the rest of the year, I guess. I don't know. It is interesting when the wife is going to the other organization.
Yeah, hey, but listen, Daniel Bryan, salute to Daniel Bryan. Because Daniel Bryan is the only dude that's really real about loving wrestling more than everybody else. He literally does not care to be a global or international wrestling superstar. He has no desire to be a sports entertainer. AEW is the biggest company he wants to work for. And I mean that in both senses. Like Daniel Bryan, I gotta respect him. I gotta forever tip my hat to him because he said, look, I will go back to wrestling in gymnasiums and bingo halls and I'll be just fine. And so far, he's lived that in every single aspect. Daniel Bryan is not coming back nowhere near the WWE because he literally is like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan is... There's some people that want to be a part of the machine and some people that don't want to be a part of the machine.
Damn, Russ.
Russ.
Yo, just, no. Get all these bitches out of here, right?
Right, damn. You want wrestling to be hard legs only. I don't feel you, man.
Russ said, get all this shit out of here.
Nah, fam, you going too far. Like, you are going way too far. I mean, I don't necessarily care about Evolution until I see some of these matches. I don't want to see, like, Nikki Bella versus Liv. Like, they had, like, Nikki Bella versus, Ronda Rousey.
At the first one.
Like, I don't need to see that just for that. But I do want to see, like, the OGs. I don't want to see the... I want to see the OGs that know how to wrestle. Like, I don't want to see Kelly and Tori Wilson versus Alba Fire and Piper Niven. I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
I want to see the people that could go. I don't want to see, like...
You want to see performance in the matches.
I want to see some good quality shit. So, if that's not going to happen, then that's cool. But the Bellas, they belong in the machine. Daniel Bryan, man, just live your life, man. Wrestling hobo, if that's what you want. Bayley's back. She came out. And look, let me just say this. I think my guarantee might happen.
Okay.
Because the way Lara Valkyrie was looking at Bayley, like, bitch, what you doing here? I'm just saying, y'all, but she's back. She jumped Becky Lynch on Raw. Do we care that Bayley is back outside of the Tush?
Yeah, I'm not on board with Jonathan Coachman at all. All right, I want to be super crystal clear on that. I think Bayley always matters. I think it's important that Bayley is around wrestling. So yeah, I mean, I definitely care. I care and Tupac care. So you know, we'll leave it right there.
Yeah, well, Charlotte Flair looks like to be on a losing streak. She ain't been in a high-quality joint, high-profile joint since WrestleMania. Lost out on the Money in the Bank match, lost out on Queen of the Ring. What is going on with Charlotte Flair? Are we losing matches to make her a sympathetic figure? What is going on with Charlotte Flair?
Yeah, hey, And here's the thing, because now we're in an interesting space because we tired of seeing her winning. Now she's losing, but she's losing, and we're not reacting. Like, eventually, because, I don't think we are in the year and in the time and the era where people feel that Charlotte Flair is the bar. You know? So, I think people value you beating a Nia Jax or you beating a Liv Morgan or even a Bianca, a Naomi. I think they value you beating them more than they value beating Charlotte Flair. And unfortunately, man, I'm not gonna be extreme and be like her career is over, but Charlotte Flair does have to do something different character-wise to either be we love you and we sorry, or we hate you and we can't stop telling you how much we hate you. And now I think she's just like right in between of a state of indifference with the entire universe. Cause I didn't even realize she'd be losing.
Yeah, I feel like they're about to try to make her a sympathetic character. They've been trying to make her a sympathetic character. It ain't worked. I do agree with Russ. They need to put, if they're going to do this, they need to put one of the smaller belts on her. But let me ask y'all a question. It's not even a question. I'll just make this a definitive statement. When we saw Ric Flair wrestle for the mid-card titles, we was like, ugh.
Yeah, Ric Flair being the Intercontinental Champion at like 52 was kind of crazy.
When we saw Ric Flair wrestle for the United States Championship as an old ass grown man in WCW, we was like, ugh. So I think Charlotte should lead the WWE.
Wow. Okay.
I think Charlotte Flair should become Ashley Flair and wrestle in AEW.
Now, do you think that audience will like that?
Yes, because it's a chance for that audience to see her versus Mercedes Moné again.
Okay.
She needs Mercedes Moné. And quite honestly, Mercedes Moné needs Charlotte Flair. Because after you wrestle Toni Storm, what's left for you to do in AEW? Toni Storm is not only top of the food chain in the women's division, she's, to me, the top wrestler in AEW right now.
Hard to argue.
After that, what's need to be done, Mercedes Moné? No diss, but go back to wrestling Willow Nightingale? Feed me more. That audience being able to see those two wrestle in the way that they want. Take that shit to AEW. Take it there. You also heard me say I'm on board for it. A couple of people in the WWE leaving. Sheamus should be gone now to AEW. He should be wrestling Dean Ambrose. There's a couple. Where the fuck is Apollo Crews? Somebody tell me where Apollo Crews at. Apollo Crews needs to be in TNA right now.
He should be as the Nigerian TNA. Too. Like, not but as
he
like.
He needs to be. We need a match of Moose versus Apollo Crews. Uha Nation. Like, we need that. We're at a point in wrestling where we have multiple streams of income because of multiple organizations. So there's a couple of people that can go right now.
Damn.
Let's see that. Yeah, now we did being disrespectful.
And hey, Russ going crazy. Like that.
But that's also because Russ just strikes me as one of those people that wants to see like Swerve Strickland forever in AEW family. We grew up at a time where Owen Hart wrestled in WCW for a couple of matches.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It ain't about, with some people, it's about the camera. And some people, it's about the extension of a career.
Yeah.
It's still up to that organization to do something with it. With Edge, I don't think they're doing anything with him. To me, Edge should have already been a champion. But
yeah,
Dean Ambrose, whatever his name is over there.
John Moxley.
Is the champ.
Mox.
In a, whatever the program that they're doing, whatever the storyline he's doing. But it's to the point where I'm sitting there looking like, why he ain't dropped the belt yet? He don't need to be champion no more. No. Go back to Cincinnati and go chill out and relax.
Oh man.
But that's how dream matches are made. Sting should have went to the WWE a lot sooner so we could have saw him versus The Undertaker.
Yeah, for sure.
Saw him versus imagine a Sting versus Shawn Michaels match.
Yeah. From like especially like 02 to 05.
See look, Kevin Knight needs to be in the Hurt Syndicate in AEW. Russ, we don't care. We don't care. And I've seen Kevin Knight wrestle in person. That boy got it. Let me just tell you, we don't care. All right. Hurt Syndicate that lost this luster to me. Why Bobby Lashley not the champ? Why is MJF there? Sorry, Russ. It, man. We don't care. I just thought about, like, everybody talk about Sting versus The Undertaker. Because Sting, Crow, and all that shit. No, I would have loved to have saw Sting versus Shawn Michaels. Them two? Oh, boy. I want to see Sting versus Triple H. No, Sting versus Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Instead of Sting going to TNA, he should have took his ass to WWE, wrestled Shawn Michaels. That shit would have been fire.
No, for sure. Yeah, I as I look back at that, I never was like, "Ooh, I can't wait to see Triple H versus Sting." That was never the match. Yeah, on my mind, it was never the match.
Yeah, I did not care. Then, no, I'm straight. Well, look, feeling good, man. This was a great show. You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to the fathers, daddies, the godfathers, the mentors. The mentee, yes. the cousins, the big cousins. Shouts out to the big cousins that sold drugs but told you not to sell drugs. You know what I'm saying? Big cuz did that, so hopefully you ain't got to go through that. Shouts out to all of the old guys that put us onto wrestling. Shouts out to my grandfather who died a couple of years ago. Thank you for having me watch WrestleMania 4. And really putting wrestling there. Shouts out to my dad that told me wrestling was fake. You watch that phony shit? And fucking Hulk Hogan? You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to all of the OGs, man. And shouts out to all of the dads that watch this show. And the dads that listen to all of the content on Barber's Chair. You know what I'm saying? We salute you. So, Camp, go ahead. End us
off. Sure. And yes, and of course, along with that, shout out to the big homie Kenny Lewis for... I came over to watch wrestling in his house one day and never stopped watching it. So, you know what I'm saying? You got to shout out to them. Man, thank y'all for tuning in to this week's episode. Listen, Bang and I can do this show without all of you, but man, when I sincerely say it, I say it all the time because it is sincere. Your engagement, your support, and everything that you contribute to the FBC community makes it exactly what it is. So for that, we greatly and humbly thank you. Again, happy Father's Day out there to all the fathers, no matter your status in your child's life. And always know that if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, that you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. It's The Pick with the VP, DOC, and we are out. And even if he is a father, fuck Johnny Wrestling.